Khalil. And this is tradition 10, 11, and 12.
I'm an addict in the process of recovery. My name is Khalil.
Hey, Khalil.
I want to give honor to God first, and I want to thank the convention committee and their programming committee for giving me the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hopes. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. I was sharing with some friends that, like, it's like if you can remember the first day that you realized that you didn't have to use. Not the first day you didn't use, but the first day you realized you didn't have to use, and, you know, you actually looked at something that was green, and it looked green, and you could see the brilliance around that green. That's kind of how I feel right now, you know, and I want to just give honor. I've been around this fellowship, I've been around 12-step fellowship since 1976. I've been involved in this fellowship itself since something like 1982-83. God willing, this year I'll come up on 20 years. And I hear a lot of people say that the fellowship has changed, and you know, I'm sure to a lot of degrees it have, but I can tell you that tradition meetings ain't changed, because you still got the same amount of people that's in the meetings that always is. You're never, you know, and my ego want to say, man, don't they know I could go ahead and mash a meeting out? They give me traditions, ain't nobody going to be in there, right? But I know who's in here supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. I have no doubt about that. Traditions, man, you know, it's like a 10th tradition. And as much as I know this stuff, I always, like, my memory is kind of bad, and I get up in front of these mics as many times as I've done this meeting in my head. I've done it all the way driving down here. I've done it at least 15 times since the person asked me to do it. I've said every single thing. I've read all of my cue cards. I had all of my notes. And I can't remember anything I really want to say, you know. But that's been my experience. 10th tradition, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence the NA name, I'll never be drawn into public controversy. In doing this, I'm also share a little bit about me, because I was always taught by my sponsor that you need to kind of qualify yourself to make sure that you can identify with people and they can identify that you're in the right place. I'll be 55 in a couple of months. I started walking under the influence of alcohol. I had my first drug habit, which was a speedball habit, in Baltimore City, even though I'm in the D.C. area, in Baltimore City, dollar pills, getting them at the stables when I was 14 years old. From the age of 14 to the age of 37 or 38, I actively, consciously, on purpose, almost every single day, sought something to put inside of myself to make me feel good, better, or different. To the point that I got so dependent on it, I couldn't stop on my own. To the point that it made me do things that I said I would never do. To the point that I violated principles that I didn't even really know I had at that point. To the point that when I attempted to stop, I had to ask for some help. I am an addict. That's simplicity for me. I was talking to some brothers, right? I hadn't seen in quite a while right before this meeting started. I was sitting out there doing my little meditation, you know, preparation type thing. And we got to talking about some of the people that had come through before, you know, some Harold Jackson, my sponsor Moses H., and a whole lot of the other people that came through and laid a foundation. And while we were sharing, you know, I was looking at what I'm getting ready to do, this responsibility. And I said, wow, this is the whole premise of it right here, the unity. I mean, like, first of all, understand that traditions are in collaboration with each other. You cannot talk about one tradition without hitting at least five or six other ones. So even though I'm saying, talking about the 10th tradition, and I'll give individual information on that, It's like the body, you know. It's like if my arm go this way and this arm is doing like this, like I'm gonna look real stupid, right? And if you start trying to practice one tradition and think that you're not gonna affect another one, it's gonna be the same thing, you know. But what happened is like the 10th tradition also it deals with the unity that if we don't keep our primary purpose and our unity real real clear, we'll get ventured out on a whole lot of stuff that ain't even our business. And so I was out here, and we were talking, right, and it was just three of us. And I acknowledged how good I felt on the inside right then. And I said, this is what it's about. My own individual recovery, my own individual spirit at this moment is enhanced just because the three of us could stand out here and talk. That type of unity, y'all, is what we're talking about. You know, the news media this week, right? I turned the news on. They was talking about what? I don't even know if they buried James Brown yet. I'm not even sure about that. Yeah, actually, that's an outside issue. You know, make no difference. I didn't go to Vietnam. That's an outside issue. I didn't go to Iraq. That's an outside issue. But when I was down in Kentucky and I got an email that my oldest daughter was in Iraq, that no longer was an outside issue, y'all. It became a part of my recovery. I've never been one of them people that cared about the government or anything or the old structure or anything like that. But the moment that my baby girl was over there, 4'11", carrying half as much stuff as she is, my whole energy changed up. And I began to talk about that. See, like I had to come into these rooms and talk about how that made me feel. See, because that can be a trigger for me. You know, like, I grew up in a racist society. You know, I understand that a lot of the people that acted out on me, that was their thing. But at the same time, with my limited information at that time, I used that as an excuse to do a lot of crazy stuff. Governmental systems, police systems, all of those systems and systems and systems, I acted out on them. So the moment that happened, I had to acknowledge that this can be a trigger for me, and I began to talk about it. See, what I've also understood is, in and of itself, that most of the news media stuff is outside issues. Most of it's outside issues. But when it started affecting me on a personal level and affecting my recovery and how I may look at life, then I need to start talking about it. Okay. 11th tradition. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. This has always been one of my fun ones, right? You know, because it's clear as this stated. You know, this is real clear. It says at the level of press, radio, and films. You be out there and you say, oh, don't tell nobody I was in a meeting. It's got anonymity. You know, a lot of different stuff. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. I mean, you can respect a person's confidentiality. And in most cases, it's really best not to necessarily mention a person's name. However, if you want to make sure you know where that person can go to get information on it, you can. But our tradition talks about at the level of press, radio, and films. It does not tell us that we cannot talk about another person. It does not even say that we can't say their last name. But we know at the level of press, radio, and films, we got to be real, real vigilant of that. You know, fortunately, I'm not a spokesperson for a 12-step fellowship. You know, but if I were, because you know my ego is out there, right? Y'all allow me to be a spokesperson. The moment that I mess up and do something that opposes that whole process, then everybody else is going to look at me and they're going to say that the fellowship and the program fails. You know, sacrificial spirit of anonymity. We got to sacrifice something. Each one of the steps asks the individual to sacrifice something for the betterment of his own spiritual growth individually. Each one of the traditions asks the group to sacrifice something for the betterment of the fellowship in our unity. Okay. Oh, you know, by the way, the traditions are really so simple that you could really do a workshop in about 10 minutes. So, you know, I'm going to add some of my story stuff in there. I might read some of the literature. But the reality is, it's real simple. You know, it tells you exactly what to do. 12th tradition. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Sacrificial spirit of anonymity. What must I sacrifice? 10th tradition asks me to sacrifice my opinions on anything that may destroy the unity of our fellowship. It asks me to sacrifice, you know, to give up, to make sure that I follow a primary purpose, and I ask for a higher power's help to guide me so I don't have to give you my opinion on whatever's going on in the news. And I had a whole thing already shared of what I was going to tell you about, but it ain't my business. So I guess that's why Most High took it from me. But that's real important to understand that 10th tradition, outside issues. Outside issues is real, real important. 11th tradition, it asked me to sacrifice my need for recognition. You know, it asked the group to sacrifice their need, but me individually to sacrifice mine. Because if you have not gone through if you haven't gone through the steps to the point that you've gotten a spiritual awakening according to our program, in most cases, you're not going to be willing or understanding what the traditions mean to practice them. Because by the time you get to that 12th step, you're willing to be of service to somebody else and not look for anything in return. 12th tradition. Sacrifice. The sacrificial spirit. Now, only thing I really wanted to say to this whole process, and I'm going to share something else, but the main thing I wanted to say is the sacrificial spirit of anonymity, buried no name. For me, what I've understood is I sacrifice the actual stating of God's name just so I could understand what was going on. Because if I came in here and y'all gave me the name of a God, I probably said it's just like all the rest of them places I've been. So I had to sacrifice, and we had to sacrifice our being able to say that, our understanding of that, just for the common good of the greater whole. As we find ourselves growing closer together, the awakening of humility occurs. Humility is a byproduct that allows us to grow and develop in an atmosphere of freedom and removes the fear of becoming known by our employers, families, or friends as addicts. The humility that this tradition and these traditions talk about is not... humility is not something that's forced on us. You know, we don't get humbled and all of a sudden want to be practice humility. Humility is that state of mind and that state of being, for me, that I want to do God's will. I want to sacrifice for the greater good. I cannot be forced into humility. You can't get me afraid and then I'm going to get humble and I act like that's humility. The type of humility that I'm speaking about is the type of humility that makes me say that I no longer want to be a thief. So I do everything that I can to make sure that I don't practice stealing. I no longer want to lie. I no longer want to be a womanizer. I no longer want to be any of those things. So I practice the qualities. I practice the qualities that help me be that person. My sponsor introduced me to the traditions. I've been in service pretty much since day one. And I don't think I really understood what traditions meant for like maybe a few years afterwards. He said that every place where you see the word group, or everywhere where you see the word, group, put the word family there. And if you put the word family there and you understand what type of person you were in your family and what type of person you want to be in the group, you get a better understanding of what traditions are about. My primary purpose in being in a family at most of that time was just because I can say that that was my brother. So I had one of them hustling brothers and hustling fathers and dynamic mothers. My family was well known in all of the circles. My main purpose was not so much to be a part of a family. My purpose was to be recognized because I had those people in my family. What happened with the traditions is when I started practicing the traditions and put that word family there instead of group, I realized that it was important for me. The purpose was to share the love within the family and grow together. See, I no longer decided that I took business outside of the family. Like, there are things that, you know, most of us grew up in those unhealthy families where those things we didn't take outside. But when we had to ask for help, we didn't know how to ask for help. So what happens in my family today, when we need to ask for help, we ask for some help, you know. I'm learning and I'm growing. I tell you, it's real challenging sometimes. If I wanted to do a drug-a-log, and I'm attempting not to do a drug-a-log on traditions. If an addict has never heard of us, he cannot seek to find us out. Those who work with addicts are unaware of our existence. You know, there's a lot of media. We got some ads on TV. We have some ads, and those ads are not so much to promote our fellowship. We have to make ourselves attractive. It's like, on my job, I am a known recovering person. Not that I have a badge on, it's because, this is funny, I've never worked on a job where everybody didn't automatically know that I was an addict. This particular job that I got, nobody knew. High government official type thing. And the day that I got hired, I got invited to be, I got to use some of the information just so you understand where I'm coming from. I was working at the World Bank. I got invited to invite the president of the World Bank to lunch from one of the drug programs that I was involved with. Immediately that day, everybody knew about my past. Now, I really didn't care. But the point I make is now when somebody have a problem with drugs or alcohol, because I do what I'm supposed to do, they come and ask me. They come and ask me to give them some support. I realize I can't make nobody do anything, but I can direct them. You know, so it's like the tradition, this tradition helps us to make sure that we keep our fellowship attractive. Not so much that I promote anything, because I never even mentioned the name of a 12-step fellowship, but I make my lifestyle attractive. I make what I do attractive to somebody at least want to know what I'm doing. And that's real, real important for me. I like how I live. I really like how I live. That's why I like this book, too. Our recovery speaks for itself. And that's still 10th tradition stuff. It speaks directly for itself. When I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it makes the recovery attractive for the next person. This tradition goes on to tell us that we need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. This is to protect the membership and the reputation of Narcotics Anonymous. We do not give our last names nor appear in the media as a member of Narcotics Anonymous. No individual outside fellowship represents Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, I said that already, and I don't think I could be too much clearer and be too much plain in saying that. Opinions on outside issues, the level of press, radio, and films, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. If I place the principles of this fellowship, the G-O-D, the good orderly direction, the principles that I live my life by, if I do those and practice those first, then the personality that I have may not make a difference. You may enjoy my personality, but hopefully the principles that I practice will be more of a reminder of the attraction of this program than anything else. Okay. Well, I guess I have to tell you some more about me. In any event, I remember the first time like that I got involved in a meeting, and it was they were doing 1-2-3 step meeting. It was a 1-2-3 step meeting, and I remember my sponsor at that time had said that, you know, this is a 12-step program, not a 3-step program, not a 5-step program. So any meeting that's just doing 3 steps is not conducive, right? And I probably had less than a year's time at that time, and I was using my sponsor's brain as my idea, like I used other people's gods for years. And I was running around the meeting, and man, I was supposed to be the secretary. I don't want to do this, man. This is only a 3-step meeting. Da 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 da. One of the people that had been there before I was said, well, why don't you take it to the group conscience? Now, as much as I've heard about group conscience, it never did anything for me prior to that time. So what I did, regular group conscience, I went to the group conscience, and I explained to them how I was feeling, and somebody said, well, let's motion to make it a 12-step meeting instead of a 3-step meeting. And they voted in favor of it. It messed me up because, you know, nobody ever listened to anything that I said on that level before then. So I got an opportunity to see the traditions and the group conscience work in a way that I never thought it could possibly work. I mean, today, in retrospect, any meeting is a good meeting. You know, if it goes 1 step, it doesn't make a difference because there's somebody there that's going to get that. But what was really good for me to be able to see is in working these traditions, you'd be having opportunity, or better yet, you have an opportunity to grow in a whole lot of other ways, you know. So I've had so many different experiences, and as you go around a different country and around the world doing different meetings, you have an opportunity to see that people do things differently all over. You know, you got one group that may decide they're going to, as you're reading the literature or the steps, they may quote every single step, you know. And I'm talking about the fourth tradition, but also remember that when I talk about 10, 11, and 12, I cannot just talk about 10, 11, and 12 without being able to talk about all of them. So that fourth tradition, that every group has a right to be wrong, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and not going outside the realm of unity, I'm still practicing the 10th tradition. But what happened is you learn to grow. You learn to, the unity of the fellowship, man, is the most important thing. I cannot grow individually. I cannot grow individually unless we're all here. You know, our diversity, and it's been said about 5 or 6 times to me today in so many different ways, that our diversity helps us grow and us understand who we are a whole lot better. I'm an addict, real plain and simple. I mean, first of all, in this fellowship, I have to know that. God has given me a lot of other qualities and a lot of other things that I may have subscribed to. But when it comes to being in here, it's very simple. I'm an addict. If you came in my house and I asked you to take your hat off and you didn't take your hat off, you'd be disrespecting my home. If you come into these rooms and you don't adhere to our traditions, then you're disrespecting our home, even if you say you're a member. If you say that you're a member, then you want to act like you're a member. Same thing I'm talking about with a family. If I say I'm a member of a family, The primary purpose of our fellowship is to carry the message to the person who still suffers. So therefore, what I would have to do is make sure that message is really, really, really clear. All right. You know, because I don't want to make a mess of the message. And, you know, as much as I run my mouth, I am really strange up here, man, not being able to share about a whole bunch of stuff. But at the same time, I do want to say this, that there's only 3 requirements in this program. That's to trust in God, clean house, and help another human being. The steps show me how to do that. The first 3 steps show me how to clean house. The second 6 steps show, the first 3 steps show me how to trust in God. The next 6 steps show me how to clean house. And the last 3 show me how to maintain. What did I get from the first 9? And the traditions help me to grow in the collectiveness of a family in a safe environment so we can grow together. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Our second speaker on traditions 10, 11, and 12 is going to be Jonathan B.
Hi, group. I'm Jonathan. I'm Addy.
Hey, Jonathan.
And I want to thank the convention committee also for selecting me to participate again. It's always an honor to be asked to come somewhere and share your strength, hope, and experience. Thank Dennis, Khalil, the guy over there recording stuff for us, and all y'all for coming out. It's true, a lot of things he said, you know, I could just say, you know, repeat what he said, but the deal is that for some reason they thought they had a need to have two speakers to do these traditions. And I guess in a lot of ways Narcotics Anonymous is redundancy. You know, we do things over and over again because sometimes we just don't get the shit on the first time. So we got to do it again and again and again. So I guess I introduce myself. Let me tell you a little bit of personal stuff. Wednesday was my birthday, and I turned 57, okay? Yeah. And next month, May the 19th, I will be celebrating 20 years in this program. So those two things are milestones for me, right? And the fact that I've been coming to these conventions and down this way and all over dealing with meetings for almost 20 years has kind of seasoned me out. You know, I'm not the same as I used to be. And that's what I find that this program will do to you in spite of yourself. If you keep coming, keep participating, you will change in spite of yourself. So, but something that was alluded to earlier as far as how our meeting structures are set up, when we have open discussions and, you know, specific topic meetings, you know, it seems like people come out for, like, lust and relationships. This room, you probably would have standing room only if that's what this was. But because it's a tradition meeting, it's kind of sparse. And I found that to be true when I first came around. The open discussion meetings would always be full. They would be bludgeoning, bursting at the seams, you know, hard to get in the room. People would be standing out in the hallway. But when it came to the tradition meetings, they would come in the tradition meeting to get chairs because they would be empty. You know, and they would take the chairs over to the open discussion meeting. Because the people had the tendency to want to hear those war stories. They want to, you know, hear those drug-a-logs. They want to, you know, hear how rough it was. You ate out of trash cans. You know, you did this. You slept with people. You did all this dirt to get here. That's what they want to hear. But in here, they talk about how to clean that stuff up. And saying that's what they miss. And when you come in here, they tell you how to conduct yourself, how to behave outside of the rooms, pretty much, or inside of the rooms when you're dealing with others. And from a group perspective, and it also applies to you as an individual. I had a friend who passed on, you know, he used to always say that these traditions are correlated to the steps. So like the steps deal with us on an individual, help us to deal with our individual disease, but the traditions help us deal with the disease from a group perspective. So I can work on me with the steps, but then we work on the group with the traditions. And sometimes that sounds kind of confusing, you know, it has a dual meaning to it. You know, and I say that because you got the individuals in the group, so you're really dealing with the same thing, but it's just multiplied, you know, now. So when you get to the group level, and it goes right through the traditions, they all connect. Because when you get to the group level, now you're starting to talk about all these personalities and all these different backgrounds and all these different experiences, and you put them all in one collective group and ask them to do one principle. That's easier said than done. If you ever been to a group conference, you know what I'm talking about. You ever tried to work on a convention committee to put on something, you'll find out how much personalities come into it. You know, and and that's why we have a need for these principles to help us to guide the group. And if we guide the group successfully, then hopefully some individuals who participate in that group can take from that and guide their individual self inside and outside the rooms. So they do relate. And they relate as far as, first and foremost, I don't pick up any drugs. I don't use anything mind or mood altering. I don't get high because there ain't nothing else going to work. None of it. So this is a program of abstinence, first and foremost. Now, once that takes place, then the other stuff starts to kick in. After I go to those glad to be seen meetings, where, you know, where all the activity is going on, after I do that, and I realize that I'm in a marriage and I'm in a job and or some families and some other things are going on, they're starting to develop. Now I got to understand, well, how do I deal with this? Then the glad to be seen meetings are not that important, because now I really want some help. I'm really trying to change. I don't have the drugs in me anymore. I don't have anything in me to anesthetize me, to hold me down, to have me under the influence. Now everything is out. I'm feeling it all. I'm starting to feel it. You know, I've got some clean time, you know, up under my belt. I've been sitting with y'all. I've been listening at y'all. And now the stuff is starting to hit me. Hopefully, I've done some of those things y'all suggested I do, like develop a God of my understanding and get a sponsor and a network and have some people that I can trust and go to. Have a group, a home group, a group that I participate with, grow with. They understand and know some things about me like I understand and know some things about them. So that when I hit these points, I can get some help. I'll know where to go. So traditions to me represent when I'm starting to get serious about this thing. And I really want to understand how I relate to others, how I should participate group-wise, how we put on conventions, how we do stuff like this. This is where it comes out at. All right? And it was nice enough, the gentleman there, I guess he was nice enough to let me use his book because I ain't bring mine, but I could have used Khalil. But, yeah, we still have to, you know, get it printed because I'm 57. My memory's not that good. You know, I got my eyesight ain't that good either. I got glasses somewhere, you know. But those are things that come along with age, with clean time and age. Some other stuff going to start happening. Health. All them drugs, all them things I did to myself, it's going to start showing up. But I'm here, and I'm grateful to be here. So we're talking about Tradition 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence the NA name would never be drawn into public controversy. And basically what it's saying is we don't take sides. And my brother before, he spoke on it. You know, certain things are just outside issues. You know, they're outside issues, you know, like Amos, you know, getting fired, you know, for his comments, the things we look at on the news, you know, a lot of things on film. It's just outside issues. We don't have an opinion on it. Because if we decided to vote for a certain presidential candidate and we wanted to make all the NA members vote for that one particular candidate, we're going to have a problem. Because half of the group will agree, the other half won't. They'll want to vote for the other one. So we can't sway the group either way. So it's best that we just don't have an opinion and we let the presidential thing be the presidential thing and we deal with recovery. We work on how we can keep this group alive and don't deal with that. Because it's enough stuff that happened on an individual basis that doesn't deal with the public or politics or anything, just within a group conscience, that will cause enough controversy to have us break the first tradition of unity. And I'll tell you one thing, is like prayers and stuff like that. They have a tendency to break unity in a minute because some people want to pray and other people don't. But we don't have a right to force it on anybody. So it's best that we don't have an opinion. And if you call the world, that's what they're going to say. We don't have an opinion. Do it how you want to do it. You know, no problem. But they say as long as it doesn't affect NA as a whole, You know, that's what your group decides to do. So, like it was also stated, you can go in a lot of different places. You'll find out they do things a lot different in a lot of places. But I notice when we get to the convention level, everything is done pretty much by the book. So don't give you any room to get too controversial because they follow the letter of the book. And if we kind of follow that back home in our groups and stuff like that, then we would be pretty much on line with how they do it at the convention. But, of course, when you get back home, y'all want to do stuff the way y'all want to do it. And that's what I've been used to. So even though this tradition is suggesting to us how to do it without the controversy, without our opinion being in it, I guarantee you, in some of the groups I participate, there's going to be some opinions. It's going to be some things that people want to do. And if you got a strong personality and you got a lot of time and people respect you and you real popular in an anonymous program, you know, you'll kind of do it. They'll kind of go your way. You know what I'm saying? They'll vote the way you want to do it. And then it's not N.A. no more. It's your A. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty, I mean, I'm just talking about what I experienced. You know? Yeah, but I keep coming. I don't let any of that deter me. I don't let it stop me. I don't let it silence me. You know, you're not going to run me up out of here. It's them folks out there ran me up in here, you know. So y'all ain't going to run me back out there. I think they worse than y'all. You know, so I'll stick around with all the controversy and let y'all say what y'all say and call me or whatever you want to call me, or N.A. Gestapo or police. I'll pull a badge out on you or something. You know, I don't care, you know, what you say. You ain't gonna run me out of here. I'm gonna keep coming. Because I appreciate the rest of my life that I get from coming. So, you know, we'll fight over this if it come down to it. I'll fight you. But anyway, tradition 11. We talk about our public relations policies based on attraction rather than promotion, and that we need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. That's a deep one today. Early on when I first came around, I didn't see anything representing Narcotics Anonymous in any form of press, radio, or film. Except when I had 4, maybe 6 months clean on the job that I was on. I worked for the phone company. And the phone company has sent me to treatment twice. The first time they sent me to treatment, I copped the alcohol because I knew that was pretty much legal. You know, it won't... You know, everybody was drinking, you know, everywhere. The whole company was drinking. It was okay. But see, I was doing the other stuff too. I just ain't tell them. So they sent me to a little AA program up in Washington Adventist Hospital. I stayed up there for about 2 weeks. They said 14 days or 31 days. Since I wasn't finished, I opted for the shortest term, the 14 days. Let me hurry up and get this over with, keep my job. And that's pretty much what happened. But I got out of treatment, and I continued to smoke weed. I used to catch a cab. Every 2 weeks, they'd give me this slip. The cab would come pick me up and take me to a meeting. And it was a meeting with other people in Verizon who had problems. And we would all sit around and discuss it, but I'd be reeking. I'd be smelling like weed and stuff like that. They would never say anything, right? Because it was cool as long as I ain't drink, you know? It was all right. So, but the deal was, of course, you know, I wasn't clean. So I was perpetrating and I was continuing on with that process, and it took another 3 years of serious behind whipping out there before I was ready to give all of it up. And then this time I went to treatment. They sent me back to treatment for 31 days in the Psychiatric Institute of Washington. You know, that's for people who got trouble with their thinking, right? And I definitely qualified. And after those 31 days, you know, I haven't looked back since. But the EAP counselor on my job, who was so instrumental in getting me that help, came to me after about 4 months and he says, "Hey, look, some people are doing a video about drugs in the workplace, and we would love to have you participate." I was like, "Uh-uh." "No, you don't. You don't want me on the film." So he says, "But why? You know, I mean, what would be the problem?" And of course, I was real early. I didn't know. But I had a sponsor. I had done some of the things y'all said do, so I went to my sponsor. I told him about it. he sent me to someone on Public Information Committee. And they kind of told me, hey, man, there's nothing wrong. You can do it. Just don't tell them you represent NA. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but don't tell them you represent NA. And I said, okay. And I thought about it long and hard. And I thought about how many people and how long I had stayed out there, and I had never saw anybody that I recognized do anything about it. So I wondered if somebody that maybe I know might see this, they might get some help, then it would be worth it, the exposure. So I said, okay. And we wound up doing the video. And this is press, radio, and film, right? But we did the video, and it came out. It won first place in a video competition in Baltimore. Other people start contacting me, sending me letters asking, can they excerpt parts of that video for their video? Because now the drug treatment programs were starting to be recognized by the insurance companies. Insurance was starting to pay for it. So it started to become legit now. So now they want to use different tools to help people on jobs that got problems. Whereas before, they just wrote you off. Now they understand that most of their workforce got some kind of problem, and they're going to need some help. And now they got these videos out. They're showing people like me and several other people who participated in that particular video. It was powerful, is what I want to say. It reached a lot of people because we do need to let people know that there is a place to go, because I ain't know. That if you really, really want some help, you can get it, but you got to really, really want it. So something like that was a tool that allowed some people, a matter of fact, at least four people have approached me over the years that told me they saw that video. And when they saw me, they just couldn't believe it, because they knew how I was before when I was out there using. And they saw me talking about it. And the EAP counselor also used to come and get me every year, like clockwork, to come up to Loyola College and talk about recovery. And he would always show his students their film first, and then he would bring me out there to show somebody connected to the film so that it wouldn't look like just a teaching tool, you know, that it was real life. And I appreciated that, because a whole lot of times I'm thinking about, maybe this ain't going to work, maybe I ain't going to stay, maybe I want to go try it again. That video and that invitation would ground me back again and say, okay, you know, here you go. You on film and looking at yourself, and I could always go back and pop it in and see how crazy I sound, the stuff I was saying that I was about then and where I had come to. It's almost like a little part of my little step work, you know, so I get to see a beginning and a place that I am today. So it worked in that particular setting. Now, I've also seen some things that, you know, they poke fun at our fellowship, and I don't really like that. You know, they have some couple of comedy movies out there and a couple other movies where they've had actors, you know, perpetrating our meeting setting and how we do things, and then they talk about it, and it's all a joke. It's all part of a film thing. Well, in my mind, I don't see the value. But maybe somebody else who's struggling with this disease, who's trying to get some help, might see that and say, well, wow, I wonder if there's a place like that for real. And to start to seek past what they normally look for as far as help and find out that, hey, there is a place. So that anonymity, you know, is also key. And we don't want to promote it. We don't want to go around with flags, you know, even though some of us, and I've been accused or I've been part of it. I had bumper stickers on my car and stuff, you know, with all kind of symbols and signs, you know, KISS, you know, stuff like that. And then drive like a damn fool, you know, giving people the fan stuff. You know, it's a good thing they don't know where I come from, you know. So I had to understand, you know, that's a form of promotion, but it's a negative form. So I had to learn that if I'm gonna do stuff like, you know, we got shirts, hats, you know, these badges, we walking around Ocean City with these things on, they know who we are. You know, they know we're here. So you know, conduct yourself. Look at your behavior. Look at what you're doing, because it's gonna reflect back to us, to as a whole. You know, and that's a form of promotion, but it's not a good one. Unless you're in the restaurant and you're not tearing the place up. You're in the convention center, you're not tearing the place up, so they won't let us come back. You know how y'all do in some of your meeting places. You know, just tear the place up. You know, steal stuff, things like that. Things like that still go on. We suffer from that. But overall, when you look at people like myself, who used to stand in front of Sam's on George and Rittenhouse, you know, and D.C., and now when you know, people don't see me standing on George and Rittenhouse no more. They know something has changed. So in the way that I'm living today is also a form of promotion. Well, not going to say promotion, but attraction. You know, because people are looking at me and saying, well, hey, he's not the same. Something is different. So the attraction part is, what are you doing? How are you living? And then now if I think you're serious and I think you really want to change and you're not just, you know, talking to me because you're under the influence, then I'll invite you to a meeting with me. Then we can go there. I might even give you a meeting list and see how far you're willing to go before I just straight out break my anonymity and let you know, hey, blah, 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 there's a program and all that. I'm not going to try to browbeat you with it. I've already experienced that. When I first got clean, I tried to beat everybody in my family up with it. I wanted all of them to get clean. So I had literature everywhere, all on the kitchen table. You know, I'm trying to give it to them. But that's not a form of attraction. That's where I'm trying to push it negatively. But when I pulled all the literature up, and now when they dial my phone, I answer. When they can reach me, when I'm not begging for some help, when I'm not asking for some money, now the way that I look is an attractive look. And even though they're still involved in what they're doing, they see that I'm not. So something is different. To me, that's more powerful than anything I could try to sell you. Just look at how we live today. So I say that as an individual, but we also got to be careful how we behave as a group so we can attract more to what it is we're about. And so far, we're worldwide. We're in a lot of countries today, so it must be working. You know, it's working good in spite of some of my opinions and what I might think is happening on a negative level. Overall, everything is happening like it should. We're growing by leaps and bounds. We're in international countries. We have the books printed in I don't know how many languages today. You know, so many, many people are getting help. They're getting help in Iran and Iraq and places, you know. Yeah, international. But, you know, moving on, 12th tradition, the anonymity piece. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Wow. All of us have personalities. And, you know, mine is pretty strong. You know, I'm kind of aggressive. But that doesn't mean that because I got a strong personality and I'm aggressive that I can just push past principles. So hopefully we have some people in place who practice some of this, who understand that the principle carries more weight than the personality. So just because you have a strong personality in the group, and it's almost like trying to run stuff, which, you know, like you're in control, which is an illusion. Nobody's in control, for real. But principle-wise, we understand that we got to stay clean, that we have to have an atmosphere of recovery so that others can come and enjoy an atmosphere that will help them promote staying clean. Okay? But personality-wise, when you're getting group conscious, you're trying to settle an issue or deal with an issue. I know for me, when I'm strong on an issue, then I bring help. I bring other people that also feel the same way I do. And when we, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but we'll try to get our point across with the vote. You know, hopefully, which I've seen happen before, where we'll have a vote with so many people supportive of that vote, change a policy, and then don't come back to the group no more. You know, don't participate in the group no more. So I don't think that's the right thing to do. So for our principal thing, if we stick to this, if we follow the principles just like they're written, if we can get as close as we can to that, pretty much then we'll be successful at whatever we do. And we do this from a group perspective, we do this from a convention level, we do this in a personal level, at home, with your family. Wherever you practice the principles, I guarantee you, you'll come out a little bit more successful than if you press your personality. And I find that to work at home because my significant other is not in the program. But I practice them principles on her, and it works. But when I push my personality on it, I have a fight. You know, it's an argument. You know, she ain't understanding it. But it seems like, and it's also a way you deliver the principles too. You know, because you can give the principles and be hard and ugly and nasty, and people don't hear it. They don't hear the principle because they're looking at your character and the way you're presenting it. You know, and it'll stand by itself. You really don't need us to defend it. But if you're anything like me, I get enthusiastic about things, and sometimes I think I gotta defend it. I gotta actually show you how it really goes. Well, thank God for other people who understand that it's people like me in the meetings that the group needs protection from. Yeah. So they understand that it's principles before personalities, because people like me will come up here and they'll have to practice one of them principles on me. And that's okay. You know, I've been pulled up several times and told, you don't run nothing. And that's okay, because I really don't. But sometimes I get enthusiastic and I get the feeling like it's got to go like this, and I don't even see that I think I'm trying to run something. So thank God for y'all. So y'all can pull me up and say, man, you hold up. Say the serenity prayer. Slow your roll. You ain't running this. Let's take a vote. And the God conscience comes in, and this is how it's going to go. Not like you want it, but like it's supposed to go. And it's been successful. It's been working. And I keep participating. And I'll keep coming back. And thank y'all for letting me share.
Your boy.